I want to thank Gordon for his choices of song this morning. They were amazingly appropriate to what I'm going to tell you about my story. Pastor Lyndon is away today doing a special baptism of a very close family friend who they've been praying for decades. And this individual decided to be baptized, and so Pastor Parsons is doing that for him today. So that's wonderful. I've been asked to tell my story of my accident that I had last December. And it's been a while in coming, but I've been asked to tell it in detail. And so I hope that it's not too graphic or not too detailed for anybody. But the main part of my story is it took place in the snow. And so when we sang Whiter Than Snow, that was super appropriate. When we sang Live Out Thy Life Within Me, that was also super appropriate. So thank you, Gordon and Darlene, for your choices of song. And let's bow our heads together for a word of prayer before we start. Our loving Savior, we come before you today with an open heart and a heart full of joy for the many things that you do for us. So many of those are behind the scenes that we may never know about them until the kingdom. But some of them we do know, Lord, and some of those we can praise you for, and that is my praise today. And Father, more than just my story, I pray that your great righteousness and your great salvation is our focus today, Lord. What a precious God you are to us. And I pray that you speak through me and that comes forth. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. Well, last December, Mike and I took a trip to Colorado to see Jackie and Reggie Regsdale, who we know moved there about a year plus ago. And it was their anniversary. We decided we would go skiing together on this one beautiful morning. And it was December the 15th. We got up early and we were all prepared. Got up on the mountain, took a few runs and warmed up, and Reggie said to us, how do we deserve this beautiful day out here? No crowds, perfect snow, perfect weather. And we just stood there and paused for a minute. And I remember thinking, you know, God is so good to give us nature that we can come out and really experience together and be with our friends. What a blessing. I was ready to experience that day. We took a run higher up. We took the lift clear to the top of the mountain. And we noticed there were a lot of expert runs right there. And so we kind of took a little trail that would transport us around the mountain to some areas that weren't quite so steep. And I noticed Mike and Reggie had stopped beside this little cat trail. So I pulled up next to them and standing there feeling perfectly fine. All of a sudden, I felt a little buckle in the snow underneath me. And to catch my balance, just took another step. And when I did that, a whole lot of things happened, and snow just gave away underneath where I was. And I was right next to Mike. In an instant, I pitched over the edge of this precipice that I hadn't even been aware was so near. And I went head first down this wooded area. Of course, I didn't know at the time what it looked like because there was enough fresh snow that all I saw was white, and I just tumbled a little bit and was going very, very fast down this steep precipice. And suddenly, after a few seconds, my head struck into something with such an overpowering force and such a noise that in one instant it seemed to me that no human could live through that. And I just realized that my life was taken from me. However, I fell a short distance beyond that, and I was aware that I had become embedded into the snow. So my skis had not come off through all that, and they are what ended up stopping me from going quite a distance down into this crevice. It quickly dawned on me that I was alive. I mean, it's hard to describe that to you. It's because I felt like I had known that I was gone. I realized that I could sit up, and I pushed myself up out of the snow, and I could move, I could feel, and I had this amazing feeling of joy just like warmed me from the inside out. Just total exhilaration, thankfulness, and praise to God. And I said to him, I kind of looked up through the trees, and the morning sun was just sort of coming through, and what I saw was all this white snow just sparkling. And it was glorious. It was glorious. And I said, Lord, you're my Savior, but you're really my Savior. You just saved my life. I mean, it was incredible to realize that. I'm sure some of you have had that kind of experience, because life is unpredictable and we all go through trials like this. But I felt as though I had died and received my life back, and it was such an amazing moment for me. I had this incredible peace, and I had a feeling like the presence of the Lord was right there above me in this one area in the snow. I just felt this, and I was impressed that the Lord was giving me a message somehow, and he was saying, I want all of you. I want all of you. It was clear, and I just said, you know, Lord, I know. And we just had this moment. I realized that everything within me belonged to him and was owed to him because of him preserving my life. I realized that his hands had been around me during that accident, or else I wouldn't even be having the opportunity to pray to him. All of a sudden, a very sharp pain in my foot distracted me. And I looked down, and I said, oh, good. There are my feet. I can feel them. This is all good. And as I turned my head, I felt this strange warmth covering my lower half of my face. And I thought, what is that? So I lifted up my goggles and tried to examine myself. And I realized that the lower half of my nose and a lot of my cheek were laying down onto my chin. Later we figured out, of course, that my goggles, when I had hit a log, my goggles had been crushed down into my face, and they had almost completely taken my nose off. Right at that moment, I heard Mike coming down through the behind me, and he was calling out to me and trying to find me, because I was sort of between a tree and a log. And I said, don't come around the front of me, Mike, because I realized it was probably a horrific, and I said, I didn't want him to feel bad. I didn't want him to lose it. And I said, stay behind me and call up to Reggie, because we need help. And I realized, he told me later that soon after I went over the edge, they looked and I disappeared. It was some kind of a retaining situation down there that I went over. Anyway, he had to come searching. And Reggie went and got help, and all of a sudden there were all these people there to help. And I never saw any of their faces. I don't know why. I don't know if I had my eyes shut. But they gave me something to put over my face, and it was so big that I never saw any of them. I regret that. But there were 8 people in the rescue, and they were they had ropes, they had a pulley, they set up a big pole at the top of the hill to put the ropes through and pull it all up, and I could hear them panting out of breath, and they were counting as they would go up this side 1 foot at a time, and they would say 3, 2, 1 lift. That seemed like they went about an inch. I wanted to say I'm sorry I'm so heavy, but sorry about those 5 pounds or whatever, but I never did. I thought it, but I never did. Jackie and Reggie were 2 of the people at the top who were pulling on the ropes. The ride down the mountain was not too great. It was so bumpy, and I had to wave my little hand out of an opening in the tarp and say, "Can you please slow down?" I was trying to hold things together, and it was so bumpy. And they said, "No, you're having massive blood loss, and we cannot slow down." So since we were at the top of the mountain, I don't know how long it took to get to the bottom, but it seemed like forever. And I just prayed and prayed that the Lord would give me the courage. And he did. We got to the ambulance. We got to the emergency room in Telluride. And I think they gave me something because I was sort of in and out after that. But I had different CT scans, and I began to hear words like massive this and cracked this and crushed that and broken here. And they tried to get me to smell something, and they said, "This is really strong." Couldn't smell it. And they told me I might not ever be able to smell. But I had the joy. That joy that I got in my heart on the mountain, it never left me. And I just kept thinking, it's okay because I'm alive and anything else can be fixed. Mike was right there reassuring me the whole time. They decided not to airlift but to drive because of the bleeding risks, and we started out for 2.5 hours. I had the sweetest nurses who literally held my head for me the whole way, and pretty soon we were in Grand Junction. We met our doctor. We heard his voice. His voice was so calm and reassuring. And the first thing he said was, he didn't agree with all the diagnoses that we had been given. And he reviewed it with us, and he assured us that everything could be put back in order. And this was 7 hours after the accident. I really felt safe when I heard the voice of Dr. Merrill. And everything went as he had planned. Very next morning, he came into my hospital room and he said, "Well, things are good, and I'm releasing you." That's the first time I felt fear. I thought, what? Like, am I ready? You know, I had all these what ifs coming into my mind all of a sudden. But he said, "No, I guarantee you, you will not have any bleeding, you won't have any problems." And he listed off all the reasons that, you know, doctors say, "You're ambulatory, you're this, you're that, you're eating, you're..." So we left. And Jackie and Reggie had been hovering around there in Grand Junction, and they went on home to get their house ready to have a patient for a week. And Lauren flew in from California, and we all got a hotel room there. And Mike and Lauren patiently took care of me. So we had a week at Jackie and Reggie's, of a week full of pain pills and antibiotics and antiseptics and trying to eat through puffy lips with numb teeth and no taste. It was quite the deal. But we managed to have a sense of humor through it all. They left me alone for a few moments one day, and I got my cell phone out and took a few pictures that will remain forever as testimony of what all went on. And then something amazing happened. Mike had called Lyndon right after the accident and told him to pray. And that was about 11 on Thursday, December 15. On Tuesday, the next week, we were emailing from Jackie and Reggie's house, and I emailed Lyndon, and I said, you know, it was amazing. I just felt like God's hands were around me the whole fall. I just felt like he was guiding me. And you know, the way I hit my head on the log was absolutely straight down like this. I could tell by the big bruise right here. And the doctors had said that is the best way to hit your head, if you're going to hit your head and not break your neck. So many things were a blessing. The fact that Mike and Reggie had seen me go off, because we'd been skiing here and there all independently, and I went off so fast. What if no one had seen me where I'd fell? There were many things that were a blessing, and we felt like God was taking care. And Lyndon emailed me back, and he said, I need to tell you something that happened on that morning. The Lord had awakened him out of a deep sleep about 5 in the morning that day on December 15. And he said, I'm not up at 5. He said, I startled awake. God told me to pray. Pray that Pam and Mike are not killed today. And he said, it scared him to death. He knew we were on a trip, but he jumped out of bed and he prayed earnestly. And then he went and tried to go back to sleep. And later on, he told Leslie about the experience. So Mike and I read that and we were just, oh, wow. My heart just came up into my throat. The reality of the experience began to really take hold. And the fact that I thought my life was gone wasn't far from real. We just thank the Lord again and again, and we thank Lyndon for being faithful as a prayer warrior. And I want to stop right here and say that I know Leslie and Lyndon pray that God will impress them which one of you to pray for. Who needs help? Who's in trouble? You know, who's in crisis? And they pray. They pray. I can guarantee that each and every one of you has received a prayer, a special prayer from your pastor. And we don't always know the results of those. We don't know how those prayers affect lives, but this time the Lord chose to reveal the connection. The connection that all of us have with one another. And that is that we are commissioned to pray for one another. And that Jesus in John 17, that prayer was, you read that. Did the Lord want us to be one or what? Louis prayed that in his prayer this morning, that we would be whiter than snow and that we would all be one. I think that's the condition that the Lord wants out of us before we move up into his sanctuary on the hill. I think we need to be all in one accord. The Bible says when the new church was all in one accord, the Lord blessed and added to their numbers daily. I want to feel like our congregation is growing. I want to feel like we're loyal to one another and that we are whiter than snow. I don't think that's too much to ask. You know, we read in the Bible, and Lyndon has shared with us many times, that the devil is not just fooling around. He wants to kill. He wants to kill us. He wants to rob us from the harvest. And it only takes a moment. Do you realize it only takes a moment? You may feel no danger in your life whatsoever. Jesus, on the other hand, offers us salvation. You look up salvation in the dictionary, what do you read? Deliverance from the power and effects of sin. Preservation from destruction and failure. Deliverance from danger or difficulty. Who wants that? I do. I realized that my pathway that day was headed for destruction and that the devil wanted to take my life. Psalm 31:7 says, "But I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not given me over into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place." Scripture is really so awesome. If you open your Bible and read, God connects with our lives. It's something you've read a million times before. You read it again and it's new. It's brand new. Of course, a verse that came to my mind was this one. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That's exactly what happened to me. I was just standing. You know, when Hebrews 12:2 talks about how sin entangles us, how we're so easily entangled, that's life. That's just life. And sometimes we who've been Christians our whole life, we can sometimes be unaware that we're standing on shaky ground, that we're standing on loose terrain. But we have to constantly be aware. We have to know what our foundation is, the one true source of goodness. If we rely on taking a personal charge over our life, not relying on the Savior moment by moment, we are what's termed in the Bible lukewarm. Lukewarm. I noticed in the end of the book of Colossians this week, it says, "Read this letter to the church at Laodicea." So the book of Colossians is very pertinent to us. And I suggest that you all read through that again. It's got the most beautiful gems of truth for us right now to read. But we're lukewarm if we walk our own path, because we're not receiving spiritual walking power from the true source. We cannot rely on other people's opinions of us either. We have to go to the physician. I received an inaccurate diagnosis. I got to the real physician, and he gave us the true diagnosis, and then he proceeded to repair what was in error, what was wrong. All of our confidence must be in Christ and His strength, for only so are we kept from falling. A week later went by, and it was time to go back to get bandaging off, stitches out. Mike and I drove 3.5 hours or so back to Grand Junction. I was so anxious to see the doctor's face when he took off the bandage, because I had never seen it. I thought, I'm going to watch his eyes, and I'm going to see if his eyes are happy or if his eyes are like, oh, you know. I wanted to see what he thought of me. So I watched his eyes. As he removed the bandages, his eyes lit up and he smiled broadly and he said, oh, good. And he said, oh, and he looked at a certain area and he said, oh, good, the tissue is pink. And we said, well, good, you know, what do you mean? And he said, well, there was an area that when I, you know, sewed you back together, the tissue was looking rather gray and necrotic. And he said, we didn't know what to do. But we went ahead and we sewed it into place like a skin graft, whatever that means. And he said, it took. Well, that sounded good to us. The approval and the happiness of the doctor and his words meant so much. And they still do. In my eyes, he was a great physician. It's much the same with our Savior's words in our scripture today, which talk about the joy of spiritual healing. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Since he always lives, Jesus does not go away. He's not on vacation. He's on call all the time. He always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus stands in the gap for us as our great physician and our high priest, in between the danger of the world and the safety of his restoration. As our great physician, he is the one who can assess our condition of our heart. He's the one who can do something about it. He's the one who can bring restoration. And it's his opinion that matters. So if you need spiritual fixing, go to him. Sit in his office and then listen and do what he tells you to do. I guarantee you when you go out in the world, you're going to get differing opinions. Maybe your family going to say, ah, you don't need to quit that. Oh, you don't need to eat like that. Oh, you don't need to, you know. You will get differing opinions. But just remember what the great physician tells you. And remember what he requires of you. Have you ever studied the Lord's Prayer and Psalm 23 together? Try putting them side by side. They're amazingly parallel. And they kind of show you the tremendous overview of God's plan for us. In both of them, we see, go to the source, the shepherd, the hallowed God. Safe within his kingdom, you can ask for protection, instruction for safe passage, abundant nourishment, forgiveness, restoration, blessings, power, inheritance of life everlasting in the house of the Lord. I did experience something like losing my life and gaining it back with a renewed outlook. In Romans and Colossians, the Bible explains that symbolically, as Christians, when we give our life to the Lord, we do die with him. We become dead to sin, we become dead to self, and then we are raised into a newness, a new life, different. A life where Christ, the risen Savior, can live inside of you. This is what it says in Colossians, that the mystery of the gospel is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's his faith, actually, that's in you. And that is what we find in the third angel's message, which is a message to us right now, Church of Laodicea, that we need the faith of Jesus. We need his faith in us. That's where we get the power to live the life and walk the path that he has for us. If the Lord is living in you, can you continue standing on any kind of a shaky path? any kind of a mediocre trail. I say no. There's a big fork in the road when you decide to follow the Lord. Jesus has to come in. Either he does or he doesn't. Jesus cannot live on the outside of your life and justify you and bring you salvation. You cannot be saved with Jesus on the outside. He must live inside, as that mystery tells us. He saved us according to his mercy, and we have been justified by his grace, and we become heirs according to that hope. He is who can free you from sin, a life of sin. So I look at God as the great physician, also the great husband who never leaves you. That is Jesus. That is our Lord, the great husband who never leaves you. And with that, I want to thank my husband for being a perfect example of showing me how the Lord, as our spiritual husband, never leaves us. He helps us and he sustains us. Mike has made a wonderful difference in my life and my outlook throughout this past 5 months. And his tender mercies to me are a spiritual gift from God to me. From the start, he sought me out when I was lost. He made sure that I was rescued. And then he has tirelessly helped me. When my face was swollen, my eyes were black and little tiny slits, he said, "Oh, you remind me of your baby pictures. You look so cute." I just had to laugh. And then he would smile and he would gently laugh. And I knew he meant it. I had to laugh. Even when the mirror said otherwise. I actually went to Mike's office 2 weeks after the accident. I told him I was coming, but one of his staff members, who was a grown man, when he saw me, he fainted. This is why I did not come to church for a couple months. I really felt bad for Brett. I really did. Mike, back to Mike. He went with me to every appointment. He offered encouragement to me daily. Just like the assurance of redemption when the Lord does not give up on us, this gave me incredible hope. It gave me faith in the future. I thought, if my husband can love me like this in sickness and in health, then God can love me in sickness and in health. God can love me when I look ugly. And it looks like, oh man, will you ever smile again? Straight? Is that nerve working? Is that muscle going to revive? So thank you, honey. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, "Lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Who do we look at? Whose eyes do we look at for approval? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Psalm 56:13. "You have delivered my soul from death, have kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living." Jesus longs to lead us in straight paths, in green pastures. Every story is not as happy as this ending. But God's salvation is all-encompassing. It is the last word. This life is not the last word. God wants to restore us. So look to Him. Give Him a permanent office in your heart. Follow His instructions, and His kingdom is come in your life. 1 month ago, Mike and I went back to Colorado for a checkup. And we waited in the office, and finally we were ushered into the exam room. We sat behind the door. Clock is ticking. Ticking, ticking, ticking. All of a sudden I thought, you know what? My doctor is going to come through that door any second. And I just lost it. I burst out crying so bad. Of course, Mike says, "What's wrong? What's the matter?" I said, "I don't know. I just realized my doctor is coming through that door any second, and we're going to see him." This man who made me whole. We sang this morning, "My Jesus, I love you. I know you are mine." We are willing to give it up for him. How touched are we today that Jesus is going to come through those clouds in any moment? We get to see him. The man who makes us whole. Let's pray. Dear Father, we have so much to thank you for. We have so much to give you. Lord, make us new today. Baptize us new today. Prevent us from off-roading, from doing our own joyride, Lord. The true joy is with you. Heal us, lead us, God, and we want to see you so soon. We thank you. We ask you, Father, as we go up and inhabit our new sanctuary soon, Lord, that we have the right spirit, that we have the right heart before you, that our eyes are on you, that we may be one. And come quickly, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.